This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My teams, the San Jose Sharks, the Denver Broncos, the Syracuse Orange, the Boston Celtics, the Boston Red Sox. All right, we all good? Those are my teams. Those are the teams that when I'm not in the radio studio, I root for with a passion. They're the reason that I can identify with you, because those are the teams that make me a crazy fan. But when I walk in the studio, I don't love or hate any teams, and I'm actually harder on my teams than anybody else could possibly be.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This time last year, I was begging the NBA. It's not the NBA gods, though. You kind of get the idea. I was begging the NBA for something different. Something other than Warriors and Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. Anything but that. Well, I was disappointed. I mean, not disappointed in the fact that we ended up getting through the playoffs with some interesting storylines to that point. The problem was, excuse me, I'm also trying to fish something out of my bag while I talk to you. The problem was, when it was all said and done, we ended up, I'm having all kinds of messes right now. We ended up with the sweep in the NBA Finals, and it was a thud. All right, so there were some good storylines leading up to that point. But by the time we got to the end, to June, there was fatigue about it. I don't believe there's any such thing as a foregone conclusion in sports. But certainly, that was pretty darn close. There were a couple of games in which the Cavaliers were competitive, similar to the year before. Maybe a game goes one way and the whole series kind of turns, but blah. I was feeling fatigue over it. I'm good with the Warriors-Cavaliers. Now, we know that's not going to happen this year. There's no way it can. It's physically impossible. It could still be the Warriors, but it can't be Cleveland. They're busy looking for their fifth coach since 2013. And I like the fact that it's wide open in the association. I really do believe that about both the East and the West. I don't think that, again, I don't believe in foregone conclusions. I think you have to do the work to get there. But I think the Warriors look more vulnerable than they have in years. Even going back to that 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals over Cleveland, I don't know that any of us honestly thought they were going to lose that series, even when they went back to, especially when they went back to Oracle for Game 7. Oh gosh, I can still feel the angst. Not because I was rooting for one team or another, but the angst of those final few minutes when no one scored until Kyrie hit that shot. So here we are on the cusp of a new NBA postseason. What is the series that you're most looking forward to? I love this because I can look at each of these series and see some great storylines. It's like the hockey. We've got some fresh blood. We've got high expectations for the teams that have been there over and over, like Golden State. Even like the Boston Celtics, though they are a 4 seed and they have not played well this year. Last year, they scrapped and scraped and clawed without Kyrie and without Gordon Hayward and made it back to the Eastern Conference Finals. What about the new-look Toronto Raptors? A lot of excitement to have a Kawhi Leonard Kawhi Leonard playoff approach, but also because he's got so much experience, Danny Green as well. Hopefully he'll be healthy. They've given him some time off over the last few weeks to try to preserve his health. And that's been the case with a lot of different guys. The 82-game season can definitely take a toll. But with Kawhi out front, with some NBA championship experience on that roster, with the moves they've made, could this be the year that they bust through? Finally. Now, they don't have the top seed like they did a year ago, but there seems to be a renewed hope there. And I hope it's not as easy as the Cleveland Cavaliers are not a barrier. To me, that was too easy. Oh, it was LeBron. No, there was a lot of other reasons why the Raptors couldn't get through the Cavaliers, especially last year when they had all the advantages on their side. So things look different to me, and the East is wide open, though I do feel that way about the Western Conference as well. Come get some. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. A lot of you already answering the question about the Masters and who you're rooting for this weekend. And then on our Facebook page, too, I finally logged in to see our Facebook page in the comments. And I get it. Not everybody's a golf fan. You know what? If you're not, you don't need to post that on my Facebook page. It seems like a waste of your time, no? For you to be a negative Nelly. I love that it's this crazy weekend in sports, and then you have the calm of the Masters. So, 8 series on the ice, 8 series on the court, the hoops and hockey playoffs, just all the excitement and the anticipation. It's anything but calm. And then the Masters. It's like two opposite ends of the sports spectrum. So a lot of you are weighing in. Tom says on Facebook, if Tiger wins the Masters this year, it would be one of the greatest comeback stories of all time. Gosh, think about how long it's been since he's won a major. The 2008 U.S. Open. The injuries, the time away from the sport, the operations he's gone through, the stops and starts. Oh my gosh, the countless number of times we've asked the question, is Tiger back? No, wait, is he really back? Now is he back? No, now I think he's back. This time he's definitely back. Oh no, he's not back. Oh yes, he's back. Oh my gosh. Up and down, up and down, up and down.
I tried to activate my glutes as best I could.
Yeah. He finally did break through and win a tournament late in 2018, but he was worn out. And we can see it at the Ryder Cup where he was flat awful. He's older. He's not as old as Phil Mickelson, but he's in his early 40s. His body's been through a ton. And so he can't navigate an exhausting schedule the way that he used to. And so he's definitely turned himself into more of a likable figure. Definitely turned himself into more of a sentimental favorite, which is weird, right? Because he's already seen and done and accomplished and won pretty much everything you possibly can in the world of golf, but it's been more than a decade. And so right now he is 4 strokes off the pace, and like most of the golfers that set out in the morning, had to battle with the wind.
A little bit tricky. The wind started picking up a little bit, started coming out of different directions. We had to back off a couple because of it. But, you know, overall, I felt like I hit the ball in the correct spots. When I did miss, I missed in the correct spot. So I had some of the easier up and downs.
So he didn't play poorly and, in fact, was tied for the lead at one point. He was at -3 at one point and was sitting on top of the leaderboard before you had the easier scoring conditions in the afternoon. So it's weird because I never thought I would say that about Tiger Woods being a sentimental favorite. But I think the fact that he's been through so much physically, mentally, he's opened up a little more. He's not the impenetrable presence who used to make people in his circle sign a non-disclosure agreement. I mean, you literally had to zip your lip if you worked anywhere around Tiger Woods or were in his circle. So yeah, more people would root for him now. Debbie says on Facebook, I'm a huge Mickelson fan. I'm also pulling for Rory McIlroy. I'd love to see him get that last major win he needs to complete the career Grand Slam. It's the same thing for Phil Mickelson at the U.S. Open, right? That's the only major he hasn't won. And how many more chances will he get with all the spring chickens? But Gary says, I'm rooting for Phil to be the oldest ever to win a major. Billy says, have to hope for my Canadian guy, Corey Connors, but wouldn't mind Tiger getting one more. Hannah says, I'm rooting for University of Alabama alumni Justin Thomas. Lots of Ricky Fowler because of the fact that he has been so close in so many majors. So you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. When it comes to the NBA, as I said, you're talking about the opposite end of the spectrum in the playoffs. You've got teams that are either on the rise or maybe on the back end of in the back end of their window. So when I think about the Philadelphia 76ers, remember this time last year they had won, was it 14 games in a row to get to that 3 seed in the Eastern Conference? Here they are, the 3 seed again in the East, this time hosting the Brooklyn Nets. In fact, they will start out the playoffs. And while they may not have Joel Embiid, he could miss the playoff opener because he's been struggling with that left knee. It's kind of bulky. I think they have higher expectations than a year ago when they did win their first round series. And think about the moves they've made to get to the point at which they believe they can be a contender. 20 games above 500. And while Embiid is their leading scorer and rebounder, Simmons has played even better than what he was in his first season. Obviously, the move to get Jimmy Butler, who started all 55 games with them once he joined them. And then think about Tobias Harris coming from the Clippers. The two of those guys averaging 18 points per game. So is J.J. Redick, though he doesn't get nearly the attention that he was. So when you think about teams that are on the way up or on the way down, and maybe that's the wrong way to say it, who have a wide open opportunity in front of them, who should be better than they were a year ago? That's kind of an interesting question, too. Which of these teams in the NBA do you expect to be better than they were a year ago? I was just talking about the Toronto Raptors. I would expect them, because of the change in attitude, the change in leadership, because of the NBA Finals experience, I would expect them to be better than they were a year ago. I think they go in with a completely different outlook, even though they aren't the top seed. I would expect the same thing about the Sixers. This was a year in which they made moves and expect to win or bust. They weren't going to wait another season. They were done trusting the process. Now they're ready to see the process produce wins in the postseason. The San Antonio Spurs are another interesting case. And I know they faded to 7th in the West. They did have a really good stretch that followed their really terrible rodeo road trip. So much change for them. And now they're relying on different guys than they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But they still have Greg Popovich, that coaching staff. They commit to defense. They do things the right way. So for me, this is more of a transition year for them. Can they make some noise? The Denver Nuggets, this upstart team, like I had talked about before, how many people could actually name even half of the Nuggets starting lineup? Oklahoma City is another great case study. Will this year be any different? Or will they just ram their head into a brick wall again? And you could say the same thing about the Portland Trailblazers, right? Seems like they try to lull you into believing that they're going to be a a different team. Now, for them, they've always been so heavily reliant on that backcourt, at least in this recent era, with C.J. McCollum, with Damian Lillard. And it seemed like it was going to be different until they lost Yusuf Nurkic. And that, while it didn't keep them from rising to a 3 seed in the West, it changes them back to being more reliant on the backcourt and being a little more one-dimensional. Yes, they brought in Enes Kanter, but he's no Yusuf Nurkic. And so definitely you have the injuries that affect them. I'm impressed that they did grab the 3 seed. Remember, they had that Mo Harkless buzzer-beating win over the Lakers. And they had a couple of big victories down the stretch. The Milwaukee Bucks, the top seed, they've got a lineup that is primed and ready. Excited to see them maybe live up to the billing as the top seed in the East and the team with the best record in the NBA. And then the Houston Rockets, too. Also an interesting case study. They thought they were going to have a higher seed. They faded to 4th. I still don't like how reliant they are on the three-point shot, but that's who they are. When they're on, they're deadly. Their defense has been better. They've got a tougher road this year, and Utah is no slouch. It is really difficult to play in Salt Lake. So can Utah steal a game from them and grab away the home court advantage? So what's the playoff series that you're most looking forward to? Eddie says he's listening while he's on his breaks at work, and he likes the Jazz versus the Rockets, which I swear I did not see just before when I was talking about it. It's going to be a lot of fun because it's not Cavaliers-Warriors, and that's not what people are anticipating. In fact, I'm not even sure people are anticipating the Warriors making it back to the NBA Finals. They're going to be a tough out, but for some reason, people are not on that bandwagon anymore. And I'd love to hear from you if that's you, if you are on the bandwagon, or if you're not about the Warriors. How vulnerable do they look to you? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know we can feel the anticipation for the weekend. Not just the playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Oriole shift the infield, and Dylan Bundy delivers the pitch. And it's a swing and a deep drive to left. Smith back at the track. He will turn and watch it fly. And in back-to-back games, Chris Davis has a two-homer game. Four home runs in the last two games, and that was swung on, gone, and number 9 for the year, and the A's take a 5-1 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you did not know the voice on the Baltimore Orioles radio network, if you did not recognize the tone of voice, but you were only thinking about the name, well, then you think, oh, Chris Davis. Oh, my gosh. He ended his hitless streak. Woo! Which, of course, we would be thrilled about because we have adopted him. And by we, I mean me, because nobody else is on board with it here at After Hours. Nope. Dave says nope, which I think is really mean of Dave. What skin is it off your nose if Chris Davis finally gets a hit?
I mean, I'm okay with him getting a hit. I just don't want to be like number one in like the Chris Davis fan club.
Too bad. Well, you're not number one. I'm number one in the Chris Davis fan club. Maybe next to his wife. Fine. But I don't understand why you can't be kind and root for a guy who's going through a hard time. I would root for you if you were going through a hard time or one of your 17 children were going through a hard time.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm not 0 for 53.
He is not either, actually. He's only 0 for 32 in 2019, which is the number we are counting. What does last year have to do with anything? No, seriously.
It's still consecutive.
It doesn't matter. That's ridiculous. Nobody else carries over stats like that. That's dumb. In every sport, you start fresh. Hope springs eternal. If you don't carry over the wins and losses, then you don't carry over the stats. Come on. If that's the case, then why don't they do batting average going back to last September or just your entire career? Your batting average is only ever the average of your whole career. You're never allowed to just have one single season of batting average. Nope. Can't do it. So we, that's Dave too, are rooting for Chris Davis. We've adopted him as our favorite baseball player or baseball player of the month because I do believe he will have a hit, more than one hit in April. But can I tell you something? When I was looking at Twitter, now I wasn't watching this game live at the time, the O's and the A's, but when I was looking at Twitter, happened to be at the time when Chris Davis had hit his second home run, the Chris Davis that spells his name with a K for Oakland. And oh my gosh, the awful things that people were saying about the other Chris Davis made me feel really bad. Stop laughing, Dave. This is why I have adopted him here on the show and why I'm making Dave do it whether he likes it or not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. If you would like to join us, me, on the Chris Davis bandwagon, the one that spells his name with a C, well, then you just give me a call. We'll work it out.
No.
How about yes? Tell that guy to pipe down. It's the peanut gallery. He's not invited to be part of the show. So Chris Davis has been hearing it from fans. And I don't just mean at the ballpark. I mean, you know, how loud can 6,500 fans be anyway? I still can't get over the fact that, oh gosh, was it last week, late last week? No, maybe it was earlier this week. Because I think it was because we adopted Chris Davis earlier this week. I think they had 6,500 fans, which was the lowest number ever recorded at Camden Yards. Camden Yards is a bucket list stadium. It's an amazing place. But there are very low expectations for the Orioles. So that aside, I don't even know how you could hear the booing in a stadium that empty. But Davis, here's another reason to like him. Chris Davis with a C. Another reason to like him. He's actually thanking the fans for supporting him. This is a guy who could easily start to grouse, start to complain, get angry, point the finger at fans. If you would support me a little more. Remember that whole incident with Klay Thompson? The Warriors, I think it was the Warriors blowing a big lead at Oracle not that long ago. And he chooses to say, well, maybe the fans could bring a little more intensity, a little more excitement. Now he backed off of that. He apologized for that in a manner of speaking and said, no, the fans are great all the time. But how about the class of Chris Davis, who instead of hearing the boos, he is on social media, but I was looking at his Twitter on Thursday, and I don't think he spends a lot of time on it. He hasn't tweeted in quite a while. Maybe he does look at it, but probably not. He's got bigger things on his plate right now. Instead, he's choosing to accentuate the positive.
It's awesome. I mean, I appreciate it so much.
Good for you.
Really, the last few nights, just the encouraging yells and shouts throughout the game. And I know they're behind me. I know the people that boo aren't the majority, and I really appreciate the fans showing up and backing me.
On last night's show, we had a caller who asked me who were some of the classiest athletes in sports. And I'll be honest, it took me a couple of minutes because there's so many out there that I respect. But Chris Davis is now on that list. Of all the things he could have said about how it's frustrating, which obviously there have been times this week when he hasn't spoken post-game. He even took a game off. I don't know if it was his choice or the O's choice. He could certainly be a negative Nelly. Grumpy, grouchy, discouraged, frustrated. Instead, Chris Davis says it's awesome about the support of fans. I want to be on the right side of this history. So, even though Davis is 0 for 32 in 2019, he was actually on base on Thursday. He had a walk, and he scored a run, his first run of 2019. Boom. I believe it's because we're supporting him.
It's awesome.
Yes, it is awesome that he has chosen to take the high road. He says the fans that boo are not the majority. Now, I choose to believe that in my own life and career. The fans who hate me are not the majority. And even if you are, I don't give a crap. You may be the majority, but I still have the job. So for Chris Davis, the fans who boo may be the majority. But you know what? He's still the one who gets to play professional baseball.
Why?
Because... That's a good question. Because he's been really good in the past. Because he's had 2 years in which he's led the American League and or the majors in home runs. Because he's a professional hitter. And because he's getting paid a lot of money. So that's why I'm on your side, Chris Davis. Earlier this week when I adopted him as our favorite baseball player, at least until he gets some hits, there was a whole debate on my Facebook page. I think it was a couple of female fans. I don't remember exactly. But I think it was a couple of female baseball fans who were debating whether or not I was being sincere. Yes, I'm being sincere. When I tell you the man needs peeps in his corner, well, I'm being as genuine as I possibly can. He needs support right now. As human beings, don't we all need people in our corner when we suck? I do. There are times when I flat out suck, when my radio show sucks. But you know what helps? To have people support you and encourage you and believe in you. It's like the wind beneath your wings. So we, my friends, are the wind beneath Chris Davis's wings. And he will fly, Oriole. Fly, Oriole, fly! Yep, I'm being 100% sincere. In fact, I'm being sincere enough for me and the unsupportive Dave. Remind me the next time I'm in a bad spot not to come to you for empathy or sympathy or support.
No, I'll support you. I'm just don't go over 53.
I mean, I make as much money as he does.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, right. Good story, Aim. By the way, Brian is with us tonight instead of Chris. And Brian, you may not know this, but Chris Davis is our favorite baseball player here on the show. So suck it up and deal with it.
I can't get behind this.
I don't care. Would you like to work on the show again?
Sure.
Okay. Well, then get behind it anyway. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you, too, are a Chris Davis supporter, well, then bring it. Let's start the fan club. Let's see. I don't want to say this name wrong. Vasilios says, I was at the game today. There were no boos for Davis. The cheers for him were louder than the O during the anthem. See? We're going to be on the right side of history here, Chris Davis. It's not over 53. It's over 32, first of all. He had a walk. He scored a run. We are on the side of Chris Davis right now. Yes, I love it. We're going to have a party when he gets his first hits. It's going to happen soon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The pitch from Petit. Davis swings, ropes it to left field. Grossman goes back in front of the wall. He makes the catch. Chris Davis hits another ball about as hard as he's hit one all year. And yet Grossman makes the catch, and that seals an unfortunate bit of history for Davis, who is now 0 for his last 47.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you include the at-bats from a year ago, he definitely does have the MLB record, however. It's over 32 in 2019, so I don't know what the record is to start a year. That one's probably in jeopardy as well, but at least he was on the base paths, and at least he scored a run and was part of the action, and at least he's still working on it. He's out there, and he's positive, and he's telling the fans that they are awesome. And I don't think anyone would be surprised if Davis was grouchy right now. He just got showed up by the other Chris Davis in his own ballpark, for heaven's sakes. But he continues to churn away. The hits are coming, Chris. Don't you worry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John says, pretty sure Chris Davis will not hear it this weekend at Fenway. But then he sends me a bunch of ha's. At least he didn't use LOL, because if he had, I would not be reading his tweet. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can call us toll-free anytime. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So as I was talking about Chris Davis, I thought, oh, this will be great for a CBS Sports Minute, so you can listen for it coming up a little bit later on. I'm actually doing a couple of Boomer Esiason's minutes on this Friday because he is not working. I will not be working to start next week. Really excited to have a couple days off. I got a friend in town, kind of a belated birthday celebration after we get done running the half marathon. So I'm done being nervous about the half marathon. I do not believe that I haven't. It's not a belief thing. I haven't trained as much as I should have or would have liked to, because I do not run outside in the cold. And note to self, the next time I decide to do a spring half marathon, heavens, just remember the wind is always blowing, always blowing in my face. Part of it is not good for my vocal cords. A lot of times when you run into the wind, all of that crap ends up in your throat, and it's really difficult sometimes to kind of navigate that. And I found myself coughing a bunch more after running into the wind. So none of that do you really care about, except to say, I'm pretty sure this weekend's half is going to hurt, but I do have a friend who's come all the way up from Florida, or who is coming up from Florida, to run with me. And so we're going to have fun together, and we're going to strengthen our friendship because we're going to do it together. We're going to be partners in pain. And then the rest of the time that she's here, well, then we could enjoy ourselves, even if we are limping. I will be limping. I'll probably still be walking funny by the time I get back here next week. So as I was going through the commercial break, I was thinking about my CBS Sports Minute with Chris Davis, but also this, I thought about this. We've got the Golden State Warriors tipping off defense of their title, though they've won three of the last four, but they're attempting to three-peat. I think they look vulnerable. They have the kind of experience that you can only get by going through what they've gone through in the last 5 years. So that makes them a very tough out, not to mention the stars and the scoring that they have on that team. Can they commit to defense? Can they take care of the basketball? Those are the two things that always are the question marks with the Warriors. There is a playoff version of the Golden State Warriors that, let's be honest, we only get to see snippets of during the year. It's a long road, and when you're a champ and you've played into June four consecutive years, at times, for sure, you think, okay, we'll turn it on when we need to. We'll flip that switch when we need to. Well, let's see. Has the switch been flipped? They've played some of their best basketball over the last couple of weeks. Was that them getting tuned up for a playoff run?
I'm more like the director at the YMCA than I am a coach.
Well, let's see if that works in the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be quite that easy for Steve Kerr. As for the Washington Capitals, they didn't play their best game to start the postseason, to start defense of their title. They did double up the Hurricanes, but their coach, Todd Ridden, wants more.
You leave from a game like this, you're happy with the win. But we can play better than that. And especially 5-on-5 for us is an area that we've got to do some work on. And there's room for improvement in that spot for sure.
It's always important to have a good start. But again, series goes for wins. And we get one. Right now we forget this game and move forward.
It's so weird to see Alex Ovechkin talking so subdued. Just because every time I think of Ovi in the playoffs now, I can't help but think of the, every time he touched the Stanley Cup, it was just the thing. It was what came out of his mouth. It was pure, unadulterated joy. It was fantastic. So who is more vulnerable as we start out the playoffs? Is it the defending champion in the NHL, or is it the defending champion in the NBA? Paula finds me on Facebook and says this: Warriors are still a force to be reckoned with. No worries here in the Bay. None? None at all? She says they know who they are and they know how to play in the postseason. It's going to be the toughest year yet, but we love a great challenge. Strength in numbers still applies here, and we still have the numbers. I will say it's a major advantage for them to be the number one seed. I know they'll downplay it, but I believe that it's huge this year specifically because it's the last couple months at Oracle. So to me, that matters. Because, of course, the players themselves will want to bid farewell to the arena in style with a title. But I believe they have the same motivation always. What I think will matter is the fans recognize this is their last chance. It's their last chance to own it there in Oakland. Own it in Oakland. That might be a nice little hashtag. So which of the defending champs is more vulnerable? I love this poll. It just came to me. I think talking about Chris Davis, naturally you evolve into talking about champions. Yeah! Do you think that'll be Chris when he finally gets a hit? It might be. All right, so take the poll. It's up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, but it's also on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then on our Facebook page, some good photos. I love the Facebook page for this reason. There are some sweet photos. Alex Ovechkin with the Stanley Cup. Nick Backstrom about to grab him in a bear hug. And then Kevin Durant on the podium holding yet another trophy. So, this is a tough question. I think generally in hockey, because of the nature of the sport, sure, you could have a red-hot goalie. You could have a guy who is your back line of defense. And when he's playing well, it doesn't matter as much, the mistakes that you make in front of him. The whole proverbial standing on his head type of thing. So that's a great equalizer. However, the fact that even on your best day, you play extremely well and you maybe only score 3 goals or 4 goals, that just by the nature of the sport itself keeps games close. I mean, think about it. The Tampa Bay Lightning had a 3-goal lead in the first period against the Blue Jackets. They kind of changed the way that they do things. They didn't protect that lead and boom, it was gone. The Capitals had a 3-goal lead first period against the Canes and then had to survive. They also got outscored in the third period. So it's the nature of the sport. And also, I don't know that the home ice matters as much. We'll see. Now, different seasons, different postseasons have different trends. But we've already seen a bunch of road teams grab away the home ice advantage. I think a big surprise being the Blue Jackets, though they did it last year as well. But how about the way the Maple Leafs played in their debut in Boston? First time those two teams have been on the ice together since mid-January. And I was really impressed with the energy, with the speed. We know they always have speed. They have options. I like it. The Bruins had everything to play for, of course, protecting that home ice. They had a really great second half of the season specifically. They're healthier than they've been in a while. And yet, after scoring that initial power play goal, they didn't look like they could match the energy of the Maple Leafs. So there's a road team right there. Which of your defending champs is more vulnerable? Actually, even as though I just made the case for the Capitals, I voted for the Warriors. I've been saying this now for a couple of months. I mean, as hard as it is to repeat, it's even harder to three-peat. All right, so we've got a couple of questions up. Take our poll. Check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can also weigh in on Facebook. I don't even need to tell you, you already do. We're halfway through the final show of the work week. Go, Chris Davis. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.